Just looking then at Isaiah, it's interesting. Isaiah prophesied about 600 BC, and not only does he mention, of course, we read in early parts of Isaiah that about Jesus coming into the world, but he also speaks about the second advent of Christ coming back. And did you know, you probably do know, there's more about Christ's return, the second advent, than there is about the first. Quite amazing. Anyway, so what have we got here? Just these few verses. Having read the whole chapter, we come to these special verses in the end. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. Hallelujah. I'm glad about that, because when we pray, we can pray anytime, and God is there. He's always attentive. And young men stumble and fall, how true that is. But those who hope in the Lord, or those who wait on the Lord, if you're reading the King James, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I mean, talk about encouragement. Talk about living in that higher realm. You know, I do believe that God always wants us to be living in that by faith, living in that place so we're always going to be useful for him. You know, the Bible says, always be prepared to give an answer to those who ask with gentleness and something or other. You know, and so often I think in our world, in our lives, we're not prepared because we get absorbed with all that's going on around us and, of course, within us, and understandably so. But I believe that God wants us to keep our minds on things above, to have a heavenly focus, to be mindful that one day he could come at any time. And wouldn't it be amazing to be doing the Lord's work when he comes? You might be in the garden, but you're doing the Lord's work when he comes. That you're mindful of the Lord at all times. I've only got a few little jotting notes here, if I can read them. But this word, hope or wait on the Lord, it's not a passive word. It's not one where you recline just, well, I'm going to wait on the Lord. I've known people that think, I'm going to wait for God to tell me. I'm going to wait for God do this for me. Sometimes we've just got to press in. And that's what that word wait or hope means. It's really just to entangle ourselves with God, really get immersed like we are in worship this morning, really get immersed in him. I remember, some of you might remember Joyce Huggett. I'm going back a few years. Joyce Huggett, interestingly, I must tell you this story. She was doing a conference once at one of these conferences, and she was speaking on meditation and prayer, just and reflection, and she was describing that when she would go to pray, she'd set a separate side a chair, another chair, for the Lord to sit on, and she'd light a candle. And if she was doing anything else, she would remember the chair and the candle, and so that would kind of set force her to stop what she's doing and really concentrate on prayer. I remember, and she was explaining all this to us, and she said at the end of this conference, after an hour or so, how many of you went to sleep? And I had to admit that I went to sleep, so that's okay. God knew you needed a rest, but there we are. But sometimes in our prayer lives, it's very quick, it's very instant, and we're getting on to life. But I believe God wants us to stop and just entangle ourselves with him. With the scriptures in prayer, quoting scriptures, allowing scriptures to speak into our hearts. Because God doesn't always create new things. He just opens our eyes to some fresh revelation. And so that word wait means to entangle, to really press in to the things of God. And then it goes on to say, those who hope in the Lord, those who do this, only those that do this will renew their strength. I think there's a call from God today for us all to really find and spend time with him. Take time to be holy, speak oft with his word. I can't remember the rest of it, but you know what I mean. He's spending time. We're living in an instant world, aren't we? And I believe it's much harder for us now to take time aside to spend time with God. The best time is in the morning. The psalmist talks about spending time in the morning. Your morning might start at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't know, depending on what time you wake up. But the spending time with God is so important. I believe it's more important today than ever before because of the speed of light. So those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Then, and this verse, this really does speak to me, they will soar on wings like eagles. Now, I have to tell you a little story about a friend of mine, two friends of mine, that bought paragliders. Don't know if you've ever... Keith, this is right up your street. You can tune in there. And a paraglider, apparently, is a lightweight, free-flying, foot-launch glider aircraft with no rigid or primary structures. So you sit in a pod, and you've got these ropes, and you just go off the end of a cliff, and you fly. That's the intention, isn't it? Don't try this at home. A friend of mine bought one of these, and he is a little bit extreme, but he decided that he would fly over the houses round Salisbury, round a place called Hudson's Field, and preach to people that were putting the washing out. The idea was getting the gospel over. The problem was he might have done that and caused a great deal of upset when people hearing him booming, not just his voice, it was one of these megaphone things. And then I think sometime later he received a note from the Old Sarum Afield traffic control to say that he was flying in a dangerous level and he had broken the limits, and he was fined. I don't know what they called it, Keith, but he was fined by the aero, whatever it was, because he was flying in restricted space. But there was another friend of mine also had one of these, and he took off, because you can only take off standing or running. And he took off, and a gust of wind just took him. He shouldn't have done it. And he went flying over Salisbury and you name it, the other county nearby, and then he dropped and landed in the field, and he lived, and his wife, it was on television actually, local TV in Salisbury, and his wife was interviewed, and she said he won't do that again. The power of the voice of the wife, eh? It's quite a light-hearted story, but it reminds us that. That when we entangle ourselves with God, when we find our strength renewed, we are able to stand spiritually. Because sometimes I think the pressure of life, we find ourselves sinking, and we're getting tired and we sit. And God wants us to stand. You know, that in Ephesians 6, where Paul writes, you know, above all to stand. And it's only when we stand that we can begin to fly. And again, I don't know too much about eagles. I think I've written something here about eagles. But they are free-flying. They fly above, and they take the aerodynamics, and they fly above. And of course, with eagles, because they're majestic and they're powerful and they've got very good vision, if they catch the airflow, they don't have to use any effort because they're flying in the... What is it? The thermals. I knew it was something to do with what you wear. Thermals, that's right. And then we get lift. And I think this is just an example of what it means to be lifted up. He says, they will soar. That word soar means to cross boundaries. It means to go beyond where we are. It means to lift our eyes above you know, the things that are pressing in on us. You know, when we entangle ourselves with God, when we lay all our burdens before him, somehow we do feel lighter because there's somebody there that's taking the strain. Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God and he will lift you up. It's obvious, isn't it? They will soar on wings like eagles. And this must have been so encouraging for God's people that were in exile to hear these words. You know, sometimes our situations don't change. Life can be very monotonous at times. At times can be quite boring. Not in our house, of course. But you know what I mean is that that life seems to be like our lives are just like anybody else's life. Yet, we can be living on a higher plane. We can say, yeah, God is my refuge and my strength, my ever-present help. Therefore, if the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, you know, I will not fear, for God is with me. Isn't it wonderful that we've got God to help us to soar on wings like eagles? The other thing about eagles is they carry their eaglets with them and they look after them. They put them in protected places. I'm teaching people, you know all this, don't you? There's a few teachers here, so you know what I'm talking about. I've only read this on Google, so I'm not really a master at it. But the thing about it just reminds me that God is gentle with us. Didn't he in Exodus, didn't he say, I carried you on eagle's wings when he took them out of Egypt and he brought them into the desert and he for them to worship him and he taught them and he fed them. He did all those things for them, and yet they rebelled. Most of them rebelled against them, and there was only two men, not even Joseph. Who were they? The two spies that...
Joshua and Caleb.
Men of a different spirit that didn't look at the problem but looked at God and said, yeah, God has provided for us. And so I believe God says to us, let's live on this higher level. Let's entangle with God. Nothing is too big for God. Let's really wait on him, put our hope in him, put our trust in him. Because when we're flying and when the eagle's wings are taking us, God is taking the strain. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Sadly, I think today there are many Christians that are fainting. Certain people that are finding, well, God didn't do that for me, or God wasn't there when I needed him most, or God let me down, or whatever it might be. It's that time of fainting. It's a time of giving up. And it's a time where God says, I want you to come and put your life in my hands, and I will lift you up. Another aspect, quickly, of flying is the fact that you get lifted. You get lifted by the wind and by the aerodynamics and so on. And I'd like to think that the Holy Spirit lifts us up. You know, he lifts us higher than the normal. He lifts us from the level ground to the higher ground, when we can rejoice in God no matter what our circumstances. And so we bless God for these verses and we thank God for them, because they're a word in season for me and I hope for you too. As we wait on the Lord, we will renew our strength, we will soar on wings like eagles, we will walk and not be faint, and we will run and not grow weary. Amen. So let's just pray. We thank God for his word. Lord, we thank you for your living word. Your word that's active in our hearts. And Lord, we just pray that for those that need lifting this morning, that they will really engage with you and just trust you to lift them from where they are to that higher place, to the place of safety, to know that all is well. all is well. And to know that, Lord, you have their best intentions in your heart. And so we thank you for this morning, and we pray that each of us will keep our feet on level ground, but our hearts and minds on things above, just believing and trusting for you for anything and everything, today and always. Amen.